Be seated. Before I get started on the sermon, I do want to say what a joy it is to be back and how blessed we have been to just be here during these gorgeous sunny days. Jimmy, thank you for your welcome and hospitality. Brian, the rest of this of your staff, just great to be here. Also, I think it was Bruce who actually inspired Jimmy to ask me to, invited me to go out to the Church of the Transfiguration. I'd been in there to pray several times, but I'd never been there with a worshiping community, and it was just a joy to be out there this morning, and it was hard to pay attention to the sermon because I was just looking out the window. The view's not quite as stunning, but I hope we'll keep your attention this morning. Dale and Sharon, thank you for your hospitality as well. And for those who might not know, Jill, my wife, is in the back. She's taking some photographs. And if you hear screaming children, they're probably ours, our grandchildren. It's a joy to be here. It's a joy to be back. And thank you for your faithfulness, your continuing faithfulness. So during this is my seventh round of visitations, which just seems extraordinary for me to discover and to realize. And during my last round of visitations, I had a theme that I wanted us to work on, and that was to affirm the fact that each of us, each of you, are deeply loved by God. And in fact, I asked you to share that with one another. I hope you believe it, that you are, each of you, are deeply loved by God. Do you need to hear that again? Why don't you tell each other, you are deeply loved by God. Good. Okay. So knowing that we're deeply loved, I would hope that that gives us some sense of courage, because we love people into greater growth, and God's love can grow us into greater growth. So this year, trusting in that greater growth, I'm inviting the churches to live and love courageously as pioneers for God. I believe Wyoming is a land of pioneers. It's in our blood. It's at our roots. It's who we are. You know, I'm privileged to travel around this great state and diocese of ours, and I'm often overwhelmed to think of those early settlers who walked across this land. As I ride in the comfort of my diocesan vehicle, air-conditioned, you know, I think of their extraordinary determination in faith, their sense of adventure, and their hope for a better life for themselves and for their children. And there was no assurance that they would receive their dream, what they were looking for. There was no assurance that they would achieve their goals. But they perceived a promise of a better life, and they struggled mightily to reach their imagined promised land. They had a vision. They had a vision. And I know you're working on your vision as well, and I'm really glad you're dreaming about that. What a clever idea to have pillowcases with your dreamy pillowcases. These pioneers, those pioneers, our ancestors had a vision, and that vision drove them to walk and ride for days and months in the midst of hardship and danger, leaving behind the safety of the familiar. I have a vision. I have a vision for Christ to recreate his church in a way that reaches outside of our walls. A vision that does not so much seek to fill our buildings as it seeks to fill those outside of our buildings with the knowledge and experience and relationship with the living God and with the love of Christ. And I ask you to join me in this vision that I believe we can put into tangible form and are working to put into tangible form as we engage the ministry known as Fresh Expressions of Church. Our world and our culture are in need of Christians who know and continually renew their first love. That sort of heart-pounding moment when we realize this is real. This relationship we have with God is real. There's something going on here that just causes us perhaps to be filled with some sense of the Holy Spirit and joy. The world needs Christians who are willing to ask questions like, how do we create church in a changing context and culture? In a culture and world that is moving away from what we know. Christians who are willing to ask questions like, what's the Holy Spirit doing now? What's God up to? Questions like, how may I be used to bring others into a first love experience with Jesus Christ? As a diocese, we're engaging in the ministry of fresh expressions of church, and we're seeking and discerning new and creative ways to bring people who are not at all inclined to come inside of our buildings. We're seeking to find ways to go out to them and bring the life-saving message of Christ's redeeming love. And we're following these six steps. One, build relationships. Looking for those relationships that are naturally a part of us, with those parts of our community who just won't come in here. Two, with them, or for them, but better with them, engage in acts of love and service. When we engage in acts of love and service, we move into step three, because working together in acts of love and service with folks, we build community. And then we move to that fourth step, which has always been underneath and in the background, if it will. It's a step of integrity, because, and the fourth step, while we're in community, we begin to explore discipleship. It's not a bait and switch. We haven't sort of engaged these folks and just led them on so we can all of a sudden then move them into our agenda. But having been authentic in who we are in our Christianity, it's a natural progression to then explore what it means to be a disciple, asking questions like, who is Jesus? How is he at work today? Step five, we make church, allowing it to have its own shape. And that's where the leaders in the church need to be permissive, because the shape probably won't look like what we're used to. And then step six, do it again. This process has its foundation in prayer. It seeks to listen and discern what God is doing already in the world and what God is calling us to engage in. In our communities and in our world. And my hope is that there will be pioneers from every congregation who will find themselves called to minister in their communities. Pioneers who are gifted with the ability to recognize where God is at work outside of our churches and in our communities. Pioneers who are gifted with the desire to reach out to those who are not part of our traditional church family, our inherited church family, and probably never will be. Pioneers who are gifted to try to get it wrong at times and to learn and grow in the name of Christ. Could this be you? What's God calling you to learn? What's God calling you to do? What's God calling you to be? And I wonder if you're still experiencing your first love, that just joy and excitement that comes in a relationship with the living God. The love that drew you into the relationship. The love that causes you or calls you to make that commitment. The love that inspires you to give your life to Christ. And sometimes it seems to me we need to renew our passion and our heart for ministry, especially if the flames of our first love have grown dim. Sometimes we go through the motion of a faith-filled life, living off our reputation and our past experience. We may continue to do good works, making a difference in our communities, but where once those works were a source of great satisfaction and joy, now they feel like a job. As the flame of first love grows dim, service may be something we feel we should do, In the early days of a relationship with Jesus, we may have been living and growing and experiencing an excitement of deepening sense of connection, while later we find ourselves simply going through the motions. So what's changed? Simply said, it seems to me, what's changed is the time and effort we put into the relationship. God hasn't changed. God's love is steady, faithful, and ever-present. People fall away from their faith in their church mainly because they've lost that first love and passion, and because they've not worked on their relationship. When we think of relationships that are important to us, they're not static. They're constantly in motion. And as we give ourselves to them and work together, we have the opportunity to grow more deeply in love with the other, while love takes on a new and richer character. And the same is true in a relationship with God. As hard as it is to find time to be in the presence of our Lord, it is essential. It's essential for our life and wellness to be with God. In today's gospel text, the disciples had gone out, and we discover them now in this text, they're coming back. Now, they'd gone out to do evangelism, and evangelism may not have been their best gift. They were followers still, disciples. They were not yet the leaders that they were to become. They may have dreaded the task of going out and doing some advance work for Jesus. They may have not yet been ready to be pioneers. And in today's gospel text, they're coming back from their mission that they'd been sent out on. So these disciples return to Jesus. And these words are instructive for us, because like the disciples, we too are sent out from time to time, called to tasks and challenges that stretch us. And here in this text, we find a key to continuing our efforts, a key to strength. In the gospel text, we find a key to endurance. And that key is the importance of returning to Jesus. If we want to have the spiritual resources to witness in the world, the resources to be His healing and reconciling presence in the world, if we want to be pioneers for Christ, we also need to return to Jesus. We return to Him so we may be strengthened to meet the challenge we face, as well as stay the course that's in front of us. Returning to Jesus in this passage suggests carving out some time to be with Him. Time to practice the presence of God. Time not so much to do something as to be together. Time to breathe deeply of God's presence and grace. I just feel like taking a deep breath right now. Perhaps we might ask, or we might have a daily practice of setting aside a few moments to offer our adoration, praise, and thanksgiving. We may even schedule a longer, more intentional time, like an annual retreat. Better still, do both. When we don't set aside time for God, when we don't return to Jesus, we move further and further and further away from Him, becoming more and more empty. The well runs dry. There's nothing in the bucket. The disciples return and tell Jesus all that they did and taught. And as we come into God's presence, it's a good practice for us to do the same. We can tell Jesus what we did by the way of self-examination, again, telling God what we've done. And this can happen in solitude or with a trusted, soulful friend. Long before psychological counseling services were established, men and women found healing and freedom through this deep type of interactive sharing, as the disciples did with Jesus when they returned to Him. And He says, come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while. Doesn't that sound good? The gospel invites us to this rest as part of our discipleship. And the word lonely, it's not negative, expressing loneliness. Rather, let us see this word as an invitation to solitude. Somewhere it was once said that loneliness is the pain of being alone, and solitude is the glory of being alone. In today's lesson, it appears that it's very difficult for Jesus and his disciples to have any periods of extended solitude, and the same may be true for us. Usually it's the forces and expectations within us that keep us from building solitude for ourselves. Jesus attempts to get away, but when he gets back to shore, he finds a crowd already there to meet them. And without grumbling, he meets them and offers grace and healing. And perhaps even in those few moments of quiet on the boat, Jesus found enough peace to strengthen him to meet the needs that awaited him on the shore. Our world awaits Christians who are filled with grace, filled with peace, filled with healing. Christians who return to Jesus and are refreshed by spending time with him, may we be found among them. St. Paul recognized the challenge of staying close to the source of our first love in his letter to the Ephesians. When he prays this, "I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray," he says, "I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God." Filled with the fullness of God. Isn't that what we long for? To be filled with the fullness of God. You know, folks will fill themselves with something. So let us be those who can help the world find the fullness that comes from a relationship with the living God. Pioneers. May we be pioneers again, filled with assurance in our relationship with the one who sustains us. Pioneers who traverse this life with a vision of a new creation and a vision of lifting people around us to a life filled with God's love, confidence, and Holy Spirit. Wyoming is a land of pioneers. Let us pray that the Episcopal churches in the Diocese of Wyoming will build pioneering fires of first love for Christ by creating fresh expressions of church. The pioneering spirit is in our blood and it's at our roots. I believe it's who we are and who we are called to be. Amen.
Amen.
I've spoken to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.